does God meet us? Where does God meet us? But I want to give an advertisement for, we've got a special outreach, a special opportunity on for Purim this year in Purim. Everyone say Purim. Okay, Purim, yeah, Hebrew, you know, Israel. Does God meet us? Where does God meet us? But I want to give an advertisement for, we've got a special outreach, a special opportunity on for Purim this year in Purim. Everyone say Purim. Okay, Purim, yeah, Hebrew, you know, Israel, you say Purim, you know, American, like Hanukkah versus Hanukkah, we say Purim, you know, that's why I grew up hearing it. But does God meet an incredible organizational work there to prepare for them, and we'll need your help and all our help, and they will be with us for the service also. So I do have a song on my phone. There's all sorts of songs. So let's just hear a little bit of the song. I want to get you excited. I want you to invite young people everywhere that you know that don't come here, that, you know, to this as an outreach on March 19th. That'll be, yeah. So go, let's just hear a little bit. These guys are.
The Messiah. Then David.
The Messiah. Who was the God man foretold of old in a radiant white robe with a sash of gold? Yeshua, root of Jesse, the master of infinity, the son of David, he's scattering his enemies. God in a physical form, yes, the God-man concept is biblical. To understand it properly, context is critical. Messianic prophecy, all that is literal. Yeah, and the world was made through him. To redeem the world, the word was made human. He's more than phonetic sound. God's word is a tangible, living, kinetic, energetic noun. An extension of God, so he's always been around and will forever be. On the throne, surrounded by the seraphim. Another crown holder that will never be. Verily, verily, yeah. All of you rappers saying you're the king. If not for gullible kids, you'd be a Burger King. But you don't really want beef with the lamb. You can't shish kebab and weave and flee from his hands, no. And it's coming, it's not far. Al-Qaeda will confess, Yeshua who Akbar. Jesus the Messiah, soon to reign, when he returns to the earth like a boomerang. This is the hour, crown him, bless the Lord. His is the power, now and forevermore. Where's the competition at? Not a one found. There's only one king and only one crown. And he got it, he got it, he got it, he got it. He got it, he got it. He got it, he got it. Where's the competition at? Not a one found. There's only one king and only one crown.
I'm living it now, I vision a cloud. Somehow splitting from a distance, even the wicked would bow. Profound image of the risen king, beginning with sounds of horns. You torn cause you thought the scriptures was frowned upon. Or maybe fiction till you witness a powerful horse. Galloping and seated as the king of kings, lord of lords. You grew up thinking that the Lord was like Aladdin, where you were upon a magic lamp and God would just so happen to be granting what you asked him. See, man is the audacity to passively look past him till he shows up as the captain. And as for us, we have a passion to pass passages to pastors and kids who pass with this gift. Perhaps even if they laugh, we have a master that lives. And notice soon he's coming back just to snatch up his kids.
I didn't hear you, gotta say it again.
We have a master that lives. And notice soon he's coming back just to snatch up his kids. Yo, we don't want to pass as a pacifist. Grab your fist and pump it in the air without a care of who's harassing us. Our flesh groans and our bodies are trapped with a yearn. But a spirit passionately grasps for our master's return.
Yeah, he got it, he got it. He got it, he got it. Ain't no doubting about it. Ain't nobody can stop it. Though they're pouting about it, we're shouting about it. Yeah, he got it, he got it. He got it, he got it.
This is the hour, crown him, bless the Lord. His is the power, now and forevermore. Where's the competition at? Not a one found. There's only one king and only one crown. And he got it, he got it. 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 Where's the competition at? Not a one found. There's only one king and only one crown.
That's going to be a lot louder than that, I guarantee. are you excited about that? I mean, these guys are dedicated to the Lord. They are radical for the Lord, sold out to the Lord, and this is a great opportunity, so I can't wait. So they'll be with us that Shabbat morning, and then a special evening event with Zeke, probably downtown somewhere, and I think they're working on that. And praise God. So March 19th. but pray, you know, pray for that, because it's all, as has been shared today, everything's dependent on prayer and God, you know, God working because of intercession, you know. Amen. Exodus 25, if you turn with me there. Exodus 25, quickly. Oh, so this is a Messiah Conference brochure. I don't know. How many got these in the mail? Anyone get a Messiah Conference? Boy, very few of us on the list then. What's that? The back cover. More. Rachel and you in there? Oh my gosh, I didn't even see. I didn't look closely at it. David and Rachel right here. My goodness. Whoa. Did they get permission? Okay, well, this is the Messiah Conference. Save your money. Start putting something aside and plan it to Messiah. June, what is it? July, I'm sorry. First week in July. It's always first week July. And so 3rd through the 9th, yeah, 3rd through the 9th in central Pennsylvania. Beautiful that time of year, the orchards and the beautiful area. Get up to central Pennsylvania, really healthy soil, so lakes to swim in. But most of all, great fellowship for the whole week. So if you can get there for the week, plan for the week. It's not cheap, but it's worth it. I mean, you stay in the dorms, you walk a lot, you'll get healthy walking and around the campus. It's held at Messiah College every year. And my wife and I really enjoy a lot of the walking. And you eat in the cafeteria, so you get fellowship with lots of different people from all different Messianic congregations. Last year, they usually have like 40 folks from Israel come. So great opportunity. So pray about it. Pray and start saving your money. And let's see a whole group of us go up there, caravan up there. It's about 13 hours, I think, 14 hours drive or you can fly into BWI, it's close, or Philadelphia airports. And that's all I'll say about that. Okay, so Exodus 25. We got other things going on too, right? So there's other things. Anything else we need to promote? Got Chris Mitchell coming next week, which Mel shared about, looking forward to him sharing, and Papa Don Finto coming in a couple weeks after that. And our Seder, they're working hard on that. You know, let me say about our Seder. We're having a trouble. Fran did a lot of work. We tried to have it at the Embassy Suites in Cool Springs, and which we, you know, really wanted to have a big event. You know, it would cost like $70 a person, and I cannot see doing that. You know, we can't afford that. No one can afford that. So, there was potential of some, you know, businesses underwriting or sell, you know, helping underwrite it, but that didn't happen. So pray about it. Pray, and if you have a venue that you would suggest that we might be able to hold a Seder, maybe we do it ourselves. I think Debbie here? Debbie is a caterer. I didn't realize, Debbie, you were a professional caterer before. What's that?
I said
absolutely. So she can help organize it, and we can, all pitch in. Shirley's gonna. Wow, thanks, Shirley. Not now, but contact Fran. Raise your hand, Fran. Fran at the office number, and you know, or email us, and we're working. They've been working hard. We're trying to find a good venue. I mean, we don't. The hall here is not large enough, really, to accommodate all of us for Seder, obviously, and so pray about that. But we want to do it. Maybe we can, you know. And have it at a really reasonable price, and be always an outreach. You know, again, I know I have Jewish friends, folks I play pickleball with. You know, there's a few that I know I'll invite. You know, that will come. So let's make it an outreach and look forward to that. So that'll be the potential date. So where does God meet us? Where does God meet us? He says in verse 8 and 9 of Exodus 25, "Have them make a sanctuary, a mikdash." Let's say mikdash. And that's the word up there, for me, so that I may dwell among them. Make for me a sanctuary, a mikdash, vishachanti bitochem, and I will dwell in their midst. And he says, the pattern of the tabernacle, let's say the word mishkan. Mishkan, that's the word for tabernacle. And this is a portable tent-like structure for the divine presence. An outer court enclosed by curtains for the sanctuary and the sanctuary proper, divided into two chambers by a hanging curtain. The outer chamber, the holy place, contained. It was a thick curtain, by the way. You can move a little further. A thick curtain, and the outer chamber, the holy place, contained the table of showbread, the menorah, and the golden altar for incense. The inner chamber, the Holy of Holies, as we is known, contained the sole object of the Ark of the Covenant, which held the two stone tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments. So this area was only entered once a year, and only by who? Who entered it once per year? The high priest. How do you say it in Hebrew? Cohen, like Mel Cohen. Cohen Gadol. Gadol. Cohen Gadol. Right, the high priest. Once a year, only he could enter, and it's actually on Yom Kippurim, HaKippurim in Leviticus, the Day of Atonement. The portable sanctuary was later replaced by a permanent structure when King Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem. After the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians in 586 BCE and the second temple by the Romans in 70 CE, the centrality of God's presence, according to Jewish tradition, became shifted to the synagogues and the study halls, the yeshivot. God said, "I will dwell among them," Exodus 25:8, not it, betochem, among them, not it. In other words, the rabbis say he would live inside of them. Shachan, the root of Mishkan, means to live with others. So the Talmud, no wonder the Talmud says the people themselves are the true tabernacle. Wow, sounding like the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, doesn't it? The people themselves are the true tabernacle. The main place for the divine presence would be inside the Israelites, not in the wood and the metal of the tabernacle, according to the Talmud. How about that? Okay, so we have in the new covenant, 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you are God's temple and that the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, dwells among you? 2 Corinthians 6:6, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, referencing Leviticus 26:12. So the purpose of the Mishkan was to provide a place where first and foremost Israel might meet with God. A place of vertical intersection, as I'd like to call it, and only secondarily for horizontal interaction. Isaiah 66:1-2, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you would build for me, God says? For where is the place of my rest? And then he continues a little later. He says, my hand made all these things. Says, but on this one will I look, one humble and of contrite spirit who trembles at my word. God says, I want to dwell with people. I want to live in people. But where specifically would God meet with and speak to his people? Well, verse 22 of Exodus 25 down further says, and I will meet with you there. I will meet with you there. And I would, it's actually lecha, I would meet, doesn't sound right in English, but I will meet to you there. I will meet to you there, and I will speak with you, itcha, with you, from above the atonement cover, verse 22, above the atonement cover. The atonement cover you usually see translated in your Bible, the kaporet, as what? Mercy seat. How they ever called it that? I love the mercy seat, and still in my mind is the mercy seat, you know, from years in, you know, Bible college and different, you know, and reading things. But kaporet means really the atonement cover. The atonement, really, the place of atonement. And that's where God says, it's called the mercy seat, translated that way, but kaporet, from kafar, to atone for. And so he says, I'll meet you, speak with you from above the atonement cover, from between the two cherubim, the two picture, the back, let's go back at that picture of the, let's see what the, yeah, there it is. See the two to cherubim, the, you know, which represent, we say, angels, you know, looking in, I think, you know, 1 Peter 1 talks about the angels look into the mysteries of redemption. They're looking at, you know, like that verse kind of think of in reference to this. But he says, they're on the ark of the testimony, and he says, there I'll speak to you about all that I'll command you. So communion and direction. encounter and enlightenment, intersection and divine intelligence, heavenly intelligence, if you will. Ya'ad, two words. Ya'ad means the root of this, to meet with, means to meet together at a specifically set appointed place and time. It's arranged. Davar means to speak, and it means the word, Davar word, it also means thing. It's also translated as thing. So I like it. I think I first heard it from Wurmbrand. Could translate Davar as the real thing, the real thing. It's where God speaks. When God speaks, reality occurs. When God speaks, reality takes place. It's always. He never speaks anything that's not real. It's the real thing. Whenever God speaks, it's an event. There is only one specific place where God meets with us and speaks to us, not multiple places. Notice God says, this is one place, not many options. God meets with us in the Messiah, in Yeshua, is where he really meets with us. Think about it. The only way to escape the flood was in the Ark of Noah, right? Were there other ways to escape the flood, or did God provide one way to escape? Right. No other nautical vessels, nothing else would work. You had to be in the Ark to be saved from the flood. The only way to avoid death of the firstborn child in the 10th plague in Pesach on Passover was to sacrifice what? A lamb for a family in Exodus 12, right? Only one way. Otherwise, death would hit your household, and that was it for the firstborn man and beast. There's only one way out of Egypt. What was the one way out of Egypt? Yeah, through Moses, through the Red Sea. The Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea, Exodus 14. Not many ways. So think of these verses in relation. God has a way, one way. That's not unlike God. That is just the way it is. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Yeshua said, enter through the narrow gate. Gate is wide, the way is broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life. And those who find it are few. 14:6 of John, Yeshua said, I am the way, not a way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but except through me. He said it. I didn't say it. You didn't say it. He said it. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to humankind, to mankind, which by which we must be saved, no other name. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed, Paul says, of the good news. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who trusts. So it's not we didn't make that limitation. We didn't say, God did, and we proclaim it. He is the way. How God deals with people individually is up to him, but there's only one way to proclaim, and that's through Yeshua. He is the way. He is the atonement. Romans 3:25, God set forth Yeshua as an atonement through faith. That's, again, kapur, an atonement. He's atonement and atoner, the high priest as well as the place of atonement, through faith in his blood to show the righteousness in passing over sins already committed. So where do we meet the living God? Where do we meet? If Yeshua is the country, so to speak, what are some of the locations within the country where we meet with him? You ready? Okay. How about at Abba Father Avenue? Galatians 4:6, now because you're sons, God sent the Ruach, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts who cries out, Abba Father. We meet him. I love that verse, don't you? Because that's what happened to me when I came to the Lord. I said, wow, I talk to God. I know God. I mean, he's Abba. He's my Father. And he's a reality. I didn't know he existed even before. And so Abba Father, we meet him as we draw close to him as our Abba Father. We meet him at Humble Myself Highway. I'm just doing something a little different. Humble Myself Highway. When we submit to God, James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the who? To the humble, yeah. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Isaiah 57, 15, you know, resist the devil who wants to make you say, I'm right and I'll stand in my pride. Yeah, you won't meet God. You'll just have fellowship with the devil rather than with God. Meet God in at humble myself highway. Isaiah 57, 15, for thus says the high and exalted one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, yet also with a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of the contrite. And a lot of verses we could give on that. Another place I meet on Messiah's all-sufficient sacrifice street. All right? Over the mercy seat. Picture. Over the mercy, over the ark lid, the place of atonement above the ark is where God met with the high priest and where sin was atoned for. Boy, that's it. What a picture there. It's the work is finished. It's done. John 19:30. It's finished. Yeshua said from the cross, his atonement him. That's where I meet, where my sins are paid for. It's done. And I meet him in his all-sufficient sacrifice. Yeshua ben Elohim says, we have a great high priest through the Yeshua ben El, the Son of God. Let us firmly hold to our confession. Let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. Draw near to the throne of grace. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10, 22. Hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You come to Mount Zion. We had us read in the earlier version, in earlier readings, in the responsive reading, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. You've come to Mount Zion. That's where we've come, the heavenly Jerusalem, God the judge of all, Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant. That's where we meet with the Lord. Okay, another place we meet with the Lord, you know, another place, at the mercy mile marker. Have you ever heard this expression? Man's extremity is God's opportunity. I like that one. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, I meet God at mercy. James or Jacob 2:13. Yeshua said, go and learn what this means, you guys. Go and learn. He says, you're not getting it. I will have mercy. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I'll meet you, Matthew 9:13. We meet him at praising place. Praising place is another place we meet the Lord. Psalm 22:3 says, you're enthroned. You're enthroned on the praises of Israel. When we praise the Lord, when you start praising, have you ever noticed that? That's a place to meet God. You start praising him. You're feeling lousy. Everything's going bad. Or you rather complain, but you choose. I make it the choice to start praising the Lord. And what happens? God inhabits the praises. He starts to meet me there. And as I praise him, and I give him thanks. Boy, I heard on the way in, Paul Wilbur's Song of Ezekiel. Man, what an anointed song. I mean, when he starts singing that song, interceding for Israel, that's another place. But I meet him at Assembling Terrace. Assembling Terrace. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. You know, when God commands a blessing, life forever, when we assemble together, he promises, don't forsake the assembling. Hebrews 10:25, I don't just plan on missing Shabbat services. Be there. God's going to visit. God's going to meet you there and invest in you something for eternity that you'll be happy you did, 100 years from now, as someone might say. So we assemble together, and he commands the blessing, life forevermore. Paul says, when you're gathered together in the name of the Lord Yeshua with the power of our Lord there, 1 Corinthians 5, 4. Revelation 2, 1, Yeshua is the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden menorot, the lampstands, the menorahs. He walks in the midst of them. So whether it's on Shabbat or in the Moedim, the festivals, how we know God visits us every time we have festivals. I remember the first time, in leading a congregation, we first started celebrating the Moedim, the festivals. I mean, as a congregation, sensing God's inhabit, God blessing them. I said, wow, God loves that we're celebrating these biblical holidays, these, Leviticus 23. He inhabits, he blesses. We meet him at another place on Outreach Drive. Outreach Drive. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Eric Liddell Chariots of Fire. How many saw that movie? Eric Little, Chariots of Fire, years ago. Great movie. And he said, he's known, you know that phrase, he said, when I run, I can't do his accent, but when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel, and I like to say, when I share the good news, I feel his pleasure, right? Did you ever notice that? When you're sharing the gospel, sharing Yeshua with someone else who doesn't know him, that you just sense God meets you there, that you sense God's pleasure, he loves it, he just is, don't you notice that? I mean, if you haven't, start sharing Yeshua, pray, and then let God lead you to someone that you can share with. Boy, God, you know, loves it, because that's where he's at. He came to seek and save the lost, and he's still doing that. And we meet him at Praying Parkway, I'm trying to get all these, James 4:8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Thank God for those that pray here before service, and pray in service, and pray in your own, and Wednesday nights, Lee and Roger and others that pray on the, I don't know who else on the prayer line, but they pray, you know, intercession, we meet God there, he visits there. Always, as we're talking to God, we draw near to God. He will draw near to you, it says. We meet him at Loving His Word Lane. Loving His Word Lane, Psalm 119:11. I still hear Sabrina Wurmbrand, Richard Wurmbrand's wife's words, you know, hide the word of God in your heart, for no man can take it from you. You know, really, I mean, I remember her saying that and hearing her in person. And I mean, how in prison that, you know, the word of God would keep them, you know. When they didn't have a Bible they could open, they didn't have a phone or a Bible. You know, the word, hide it in your heart. When we love his word, boy, Wayne, who just went home to be with the Lord, he loved God's word. You know, he took courses, he was studying, he was hungry, you know, loved hearing the word of God. You know, Isaiah 66:2, on this one will I look, one humble and contrite who trembles at my word. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, Yeshua said. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our dwelling with him. John 14:23, he loves me, keep my word, we'll come, my Father and I, he says, and make our dwelling with him. Wow, man. Love to get alone with God and his word. Hide it in your heart. Memorize it. You know, whatever version works for you, you know. But hide it in your heart. He meets us when we give, when we serve. Giving way. He meets us when we give and serve. 2 Corinthians 9:7. He loves a cheerful giver. But where do I meet? Where do I meet this infinite personal God, the everlasting God? There are some other places, and I'll try to do this real quick. But I pray this will minister to you. We meet him sometimes even in our ignorant anger. In our ignorant anger. How about Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9, still breathing out threats and murder against the Lord's disciples. He went to the priest, remember, to get permission to arrest the Jewish followers of Yeshua, the Messianic Jews, and he believed he was doing right, but he was ignorant, but he was angry, and he thought they were desecrating, that they were, you know, misteaching and had misunderstood, and they were promoting a message that was false. And he went and he wanted to arrest them and bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, Shaul, Shaul. Let's say Shaul. Shaul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yeshua. I am Yeshua whom you are persecuting. Wow. Can you imagine that? Maybe you're angry at God and you've had some experience, you know, and you think you're doing right, and yet God visits you that way. And then he didn't stop there. He said, I'm Yeshua. He says, get up, but get up. Don't live. Don't stay here. Get up and go to the city. I've got something for you to do. And and so I meet him also. I can meet the Lord in my repentance. In my repentance. You read Psalm 51, how David did. He said, be gracious to me, God, according to your mercy. He met him in his repentance before the Lord. Cleanse me, he said. Wash me. I'll be white. As we repent, you know, don't be stubborn. You'll miss God. Why miss God? Meet him as you repent, as you turn. Humble yourself and say, I was wrong. I've been proud. Humble and meet God there. God will meet you there. In my blindness and even in my indifference, God might meet me. God can meet me even there. I love this verse in Isaiah 65:1. I was sought of those who did not ask for me. I know this is true of me, coming to know the Lord. And how about you? I was sought of those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, hineni, hineni. Let's say hineni. Here I means here am I. You know, behold me here. Here am I. To a nation not called by my name. Yes, God can meet you. God can use you. He healed and later went and found the blind man who was banished in John chapter 9. You know, Yeshua. I can meet the Lord another place in stillness. In stillness. Psalm 46:10. Be still and what? Know that I am God. Let's say it. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we have to still ourselves and just still and you meet God will meet you there. Be still and let, you know, get alone. Be still. You know, that alone might mean just putting your earbuds in or whatever and, you know, in a place, you know, it may be crowded, but you're alone with God and, you know, and meet him. Elijah, Eliyahu, a great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and shattering wind. I love that story in 1 Kings 19 and the cliffs says, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, this translates it, a soft whisper of a voice. But really, as we know, it was still small voice. Still small voice. And translates it. I think I have it there. Still small. I have it right up there in the song. Yes. And I would translate, you know, just like one of my favorite Simon and Garfunkel songs. They got it right. They weren't talking about this, but the sound of what? That's exactly what it is in Hebrew. That's really what it is. If you translate, you know, kol. Dama, dakak, dakak, the sound of a still, silent sound, the voice of crushed silence. The Lord met him there. Elijah saying, "But I, you know, I'm zealous for you, Lord. I'm zealous. I look at." And Lot said, "Meet me, a still, small voice, the sound of silence." As he heard it, he wrapped himself in the mountain. He said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What have you? Get still before the Lord." I can meet him in rebellion even. Jonah rose to go to Nineveh, and he rose, and God told him to go, and he went, but he instead went in the opposite direction, as you know. You know the story. Got in the boat, went the opposite, and Jonah to flee to Tarshish, but the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord. But could he leave? Could he run from the presence of the Lord? No, the Lord's presence, he met him even there. And humbled him, of course. you can run, but you cannot hide. Isn't there a song like that or something? He said, you know, he met him in his rebellion in the fish's belly, and boy, did he smell bad after that. At another place, a couple more places, at the intersection of sorrow and disappointment, we can meet the Lord. I love the story of Miriam in John 20. Miriam stood outside after Yeshua's resurrection, but she didn't know he had resurrected yet. She thought he was dead, and she was crying. She was crying. She was weeping. And as she was weeping, she bent down and looked into the tomb. And after all these things, it says she turned around. She saw Yeshua. Saw angels first, two angels. She didn't know they were angels. And Yeshua standing there. She didn't know that it was Yeshua. Yeshua said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I don't know how he said it. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" I love, you know, the questions God asks. Who are you looking for? Anyway, further on she says, she tells him this stuff, and she thought he was the gardener, you know. Yeshua says to her, "Miriam." He spoke her name, Miriam. Mary, Miriam. And turning around, she said to him, in Hebrew or Aramaic, we don't know which, Rabboni, my master. My master, she recognized him. Psalm 34:19, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. Let him meet you in your disappointment. Let him meet you and speak with you in your sorrow. In doubts, he meets us in doubts. Thomas, doubting, unless I see the nail prints, I won't believe. And the Lord met him there. What an amazing story of Thomas, right? Met him there. He said, go ahead, reach out your hand, put it in my side, put your finger. Look, you know, he didn't believe. He said, I'm not going to believe. I'll never believe. And he reached him even in his doubts. Doubts aren't bad. Doubts are good. Doubts can be healthy and good. Doubts and questions, honest doubts, are very good. Express them to God. Don't hide them. Don't suffocate them. Don't make pretend you don't have them. Ask God. Go to God with them, and he'll meet you with them. He did me. We could all share our own stories. I know. And people, you know, different authors helped me, like C.S. Lewis and different ones, you know, and who helped with those things. And lastly, he meets us in guilt and self-condemnation. In guilt. Peter, John 21, said when they had finished breakfast, Yeshua said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I think he was feeling very guilty of what had happened, of his betrayal, of his denying him. And so he said, I'm going fishing. He just went back to what he was doing before. I'm going fishing. And everyone, he was a strong leader, and everyone just, you know, in his power, you know, they said, oh, yeah, we'll go too. You know, let's go too. You just kind of follow him. And Yeshua, you know, meets them, you know, they catch the fish, and he recognizes, you know, swims to him and everything, Simon to him, and then Yeshua confronts, says, Simon, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your former occupation, you know, than what you're doing before? Do you love me more than these? And he said, Lord, you know I love you, but he probes, you know, three times he asks them, and I think he knows sometimes that we can substitute activity for guilt. And God wants to meet us there and say, I'm not interested in all your activity. He says, do you love me? He says, now I've got something for you to do. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care. I've got something for you to do. Not what you're doing. Don't get distracted. Father, we thank you that you meet us in all these places.